The internet may be the repository of all human knowledge and history, but that doesn't mean it's reliable storage. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Just in the past few weeks, the social network Google Plus shut down, taking all its archives with it, including the profile pages of Google's founders, removing access to insights about the company's history and previous decisions. Facebook said it, quote, mistakenly deleted posts by CEO Mark Zuckerberg, but it also changed how it archives corporate announcements and blog posts in a way that makes them harder to find. And MySpace accidentally lost 12 years of posts from its users, including their estimated 50 million original songs. Jason Scott is an archivist with the Internet Archive, a nonprofit digital library which managed to recover a tiny fraction of those songs.
So basically, MySpace, which was one of the largest sites of the 2000s, always encouraged people to upload videos and music and photos. And then it turned out last year, during a migration, they lost everything that was older than about 3 or 4 years. And there's estimates going around of something like 50 million songs. And the Internet Archive was handed from an academic group a USB drive worth of songs. So about 540,000 songs, which had been done as part of a academic study on music networks back in 2010. And that's the only reason we have this music. It's not anywhere near a full recovery. I wish it was.
Wow. So how common is it for these private companies like MySpace or Facebook or Google to either accidentally or intentionally lose information?
So the accidental will always get a headline. And luckily, that doesn't happen as much as it might have done years ago. But intentional, where they hit the end of a product's life cycle, we're in the situation right now where people have a lot of data that means something to them, and they're getting very surprised a lot.
Right. And this sort of raises this sort of fundamental question, which is, are there any rules? Are there any laws or regulations about what companies have to hold on to and then any recourse if they don't?
Generally, no. There's certainly a lot of laws around health information due to HIPAA, but we don't do that for other data. And so I'm very much thinking of this as a tenant-landlord situation, that there are responsibilities that really should be in there if they're housing your data, because they are certainly benefiting from it.
Right. It sounds like you're really saying that preservation and archiving should be part of the kind of larger data conversation that we're having right now. Like, should that be part of the GDPR or any version of regulations like that that might come to the US?
I don't think it's unrealistic to say that, like, export, the ability to pull out data, the ability to be notified and have it held for a certain period of time after shutdown, that this should be part of the online experience.
Let me offer, though, the kind of alternate view, which is, you know, what is it, something like 90% of all of the data in the world has been created in the last 20 years. And data centers are increasingly gigantic and consume tons and tons of energy and represent a real threat to the climate. Is there also a conversation that we need to be having about data expiration?
So I would say that it's an interesting argument to argue about the environmentals, but you look at something like Bitcoin, which nobody knew about years ago, and now suddenly takes up such a percentage of energy. And I think we're going to continue to see waves of that. It's in companies' interests to make data hosting, data retrieval, and everything else be as inexpensive as possible. And there's money to be made. I could definitely see an argument that people generate too much data and that we end up with a lot of data, but I think that choice should be yours, not something you read about in a tweet, the next day because something went quote-unquote wrong. So I definitely think there's something to be argued there, but it's the problem here is just one of they are efficiently or inefficiently losing the data of users who have no say and no knowledge of what they're doing in terms of keeping access to their own data.
So then just sort of simply put for consumers out there, how reliable is the digital record?
The digital record is very reliable until it isn't. Like, it lets you have enormous amounts of reach, easy copying, easy access, easy sharing. But when things go wrong, they will go wrong utterly. You can recover a burned book. You can't recover a literally dead disk that doesn't work at all without spending an amount of money that nobody would spend. And so we have kind of the best of times and the worst of times right now. And I think that people should just be aware that if something matters to them, that in some ways they need to be the caretaker.
Jason Scott is an archivist with the Internet Archive. He told us the archive had been trying to preserve the public posts from Google Plus before it shut down, and that it proved to be over a petabyte of data, or a million gigabytes. So I guess some people used it after all. And now for some related links. First of all, way back in 2009, Gizmodo created what I think is still the best ever infographic that tries to show how much a petabyte is. And the best part is how they determined that it equaled 13.3 years of high-def television content, or 58,292 movies. And if each movie requires one large pizza, which it does, then a petabyte equals 52 tons of pepperoni pizza. Yes, it has to be pepperoni. No, don't ask me why. Anyway, that infographic and all the stories we referenced in today's piece can be found on our website, marketplacetech.org. And there's a good story there from the BBC about how much from the early days of the web is now gone, partly because the web was around for 5 years before it even occurred to anyone to start archiving it. That, of course, was the Internet Archive. And now there are other organizations working on a parallel effort. The British Library has a UK web archive. The National Library of Australia just put up an archive of that country's websites. But as more and more people put more and more data in just a few places, like Facebook, for example, researchers are worried that if MySpace can lose 50 million songs, what could Facebook lose? And there are concerns that we're headed for a digital dark age, where only a tiny portion of the digital record we're creating right now will be preserved or even readable by future generations. Then again, I feel like all those people who've had their old tweets dug up and used against them, or the people posting so many ill-considered things online right this second, might argue that maybe not everything does need to be saved. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.